Let me Google that.
Let me Google that is brought to you by Anchor. You know why? Because Anchor makes it ridiculously easy to make a podcast. You can either do it right in the app or with the online dashboard where you have everything you need to record, edit, distribute, and even monetize your podcast. And it's all free. As a creator, I also appreciate that Anchor lets listeners become supporters for as little as $1 a month. So, no, you don't have to record ads like this, but if you want to, Anchor can hook you up. Learn more at anchor.fm or get started by downloading the app. So apparently the NOAA gets asked about how hurricanes get named a lot, mostly because people want a storm named after them. But when you actually sit back and think about what a name like Katrina brings up for people, I'm not really sure that it would feed one's ego in the best way. So giving tropical storms human names has actually only been a meteorological best practice since about the 1950s. Prior to that, storms were tracked in the order which they occurred in a given year. But this method, while logical, could get confusing, and when areas were about to be pummeled or were in the midst of being pummeled by a storm, quick, easy communication wasn't just appreciated, it was life-saving. So at this point, much communication was happening via radio. And there was no Twitter, and many homes didn't have television, so radio advisories could get confusing, especially if several storms were occurring simultaneously in different areas. Messages and broadcasts could get crosswired, or listeners would get messages that were meant for people in another state. People were also in the habit of referring to tropical cyclones to mean cyclones, typhoons, and/or hurricanes, which are actually the same kind of storm, but the name depends on where they originated, so it could vary by location. The tradition of naming storms may not have become normalized until the 1950s, but it was actually borrowed from the proclivity of a man named Clement Ragg, a British meteorologist in 1887. He'd initially used names from Greek and Roman mythology when referring to storms, and he really didn't put too much thought into it. The names weren't necessarily meant to describe the storm in any way, or vice versa, until the early 1900s when Ragg decided to make that shit personal. Admittedly, as a meteorologist, Ragg didn't wield much by way of political power or influence, but he had a lot of feelings. What he could do, however, was passive-aggressively fuck with people that he didn't like, particularly political figures. That way, when he reported on a storm, he'd be able to say things like,
"Mr. Chastworth is really fucking everything up. Lord Byron is going to cause a great deal of chaos and destruction for the people of southern England."
So when Ragg died in 1922, his personal weather-based vendetta system kind of went with him, and the practice of naming storms became, once again, fractured and confusing. By the middle of the century, this confusion had culminated, which is why naming storms after people started to become commonplace, at least in the US. So between the 50s and the 1970s, it really started to pick up, and they started with the phonetic alphabet used by the military, whiskey, tango, foxtrot kind of stuff. But of course, there were only 26 of those, so it only lasted for 26 storms. Choosing human names seemed like a logical place to go, because they were distinct but widely understood. There were plenty of them, and they were fairly easy to communicate. Of course, weather science being largely dominated by men, the impulse was to name storms after women that they knew. Wives, daughters, sisters, mistresses, ex-girlfriends. You see where this is going. And it was often fully intentional. So if you scorned a weatherman circa 1967, you probably got a Category 3 storm named after you. The other thing here is that those doing the naming were also predominantly white, and it quickly became obvious that if the whole point of the naming convention was that people would be able to recognize the names and they would be able to easily communicate them in a time of crisis, naming a cyclone that's headed for India Susan was kind of pointless. So depending on the region, the naming strategy began to diversify to reflect the population actually being affected by the storm, not the demographic of the people naming the storms. So, in the 11 meteorological regions doing the naming, there are actually approved lists for every year through, I believe, 2022. And in general, they'll go in alphabetical order at the start of the year, and then there's a name for each letter. And you can actually see if your name is already on one of these lists, and if not, you can request that the National Weather Service consider it for their next set of lists beyond 2022. Although you would have to live with that decision. Although it's probably worth pointing out that you're not the only person with your name, and there are plenty of other people in the world with your name who may not appreciate it.